Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of the cross, that you may be able to stand in the fire. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah.
Live Yahuwah's radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah's Radio, Yahuwah's Ministry. I be your host by name, your Seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called The Fiery Destruction of Christianity, the Great Beats, the Roman Catholic Church Teaching. Part number 53, we just going to scroll on the international side. And remember one thing, see, Roy, how's your health feeling? Remember, if you're feeling sluggish, keep one thing in your mind. Every day, you must check your blood up. If you feel like stiffness in your legs and your back, there's three things to make sure you keep in your mind or keep with you all the time to understand. First thing is Yahuwah. Is there that good Bible that he got his word in, and that air stepper. That air stepper, it helps shake that blood up in your system. If you feel yourself, you got some stiffness in your legs, your back rock is all stiffed up and aching, you got to shake up that blood in your system. Keep that in your mind. Never forget that. So every chance you get, if you can shake that blood up a little bit, then you'll feel much better, because when you wake up with all that stiffness in you, you got to shake that blood up. It's like leaving a good old orange juice, and you say, well, let me shake it up if I can get the good taste out of it. Same thing I do about your body, see, right here. You got stiffness in your joints, arthritis, and back all stiff, hips don't work right. Get on that ass step and get you about couple of minutes in it and be it from there and shake that blood up. Then after you do that, you say, wow, I feel much better. That's a game changer. All right, good. Let's throw it on the international side and see what's going on the international side. And all the spots are spilled. That's 195 international countries. And what's flashing out of New York on the international side is 104.112. 104.112. 104.112. Enough said, we bring Mr. Tibbs in, he'll tell you all about it as we get ready for another episode of Some Dust Says Yahuwah, Tape 53, The Fiery Destruction of Christianity, The Great Beats, The Roman Catholic Church. Let's find Mr. Tibbs and bring him in, and whatever Yahuwah got on him to put on Tape 53, when you meet your brother, with a loud voice you say, Brother Mr. Tibbs, Yahuwah be with you there, Seed Royal.
And Yahuwah bless you, Brother Israel, the Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, Mr. Tibbs. Well, these numbers is going up because one thing about it, one touch one, and somebody will always want to hear some dust say is Yahuwah. That's why we got no time for those that got a contract spirit. It's all about advancing, thus says Yahuwah's word. So whatever Yahuwah put on you for Tape 53, you take your time while I get myself all warmed up, take care of my part, and some thus says Yahuwah. You on the clock, Mr. Tibbs, come on.
Once again, Yahuwah bless you, Brother Israel. And thank you for bringing me into the largest class it looks like we've had in quite a while. of 104,112 people that came to listen to the words of Yahuwah. And you know what? That's a good thing. Because the more people that start to receive the correct words of Yahuwah, it'll do justice in their life. And you notice that I said the correct words. Yesterday we mentioned about deceitfulness and being deceived as you're receiving the word of Yahuwah. Most of that has come from bad teaching and people out there that try to take the words of Yahuwah and twist it around to make it seem like something else. And unfortunately, it works on most, but not here at Seed Boyle, because we stick with the Bible the way that it was written. We're in the dark times of Christianity, the Roman Catholic Church, the great beast. Who better to start thinking about where we get this deception from or pull the wrong scriptures? You know, it's from those false prophets out there, bad teachers, that give us these things. And some try to pass it on to another. I could tell you about an instance I was exposed to yesterday, but I don't think that would do any justice for anyone. Because we have to stay strong in the words of Yahuwah. An example of that is a gentleman trying to read the Bible, and luckily he was walking behind a prophet in a chariot. I think most of us may have read this story. Well, it's in the Bible, in the book of Acts, looking at chapter 8, verses 30-31. I believe I have that correct. Well, anyway, it goes 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read from the prophet, seer, Elijah, and said unto him, understand thou what thou readest? 31. And he said, how can I, except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So this is the start of receiving the correct words of the Bible, even though you have it in hand. You may not interpret it right, but it does help to sit with a seer, someone that can guide you through the Bible. Because after that, verse 32, it says, the place where the scripture which he read was this. He was led like a sheep to slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears. So he opened not his mouth. So what does this tell you? That when you're listening to the words of Yahuwah from someone that's given it to you as it should be given and interpreting the verses for you, open not your mouth. Use small mouth and big ears. That's exactly what that's saying. So we look at Luke before we get started, chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Let's see what that says. 14. And then the Son returned in the power of the Spirit and to Galilee, and there went out on a fame of him through the regions round about. 15. And he taught in their synagogues, temples, being glorified of all. 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And his custom was he went into the synagogues, temples, on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet, seer, Elijah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. 18. The Spirit of Yahuwah is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel covenant to the poor. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance unto the captives, and recovering of the sight of the blind, to set liberty to them that are bruised. 19. To preach the acceptable year of the Yahuwah. 20. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue temple were fastened on him. 21. And he began to say unto them, this is the day the scripture fulfilled in your ears. So each and every time we come to Yahuwah's ministry, we fulfill the scripture in your ears as it was written in the book. Because we know that we all came to hear those things, that most of us attend this lesson understand. And some listening never can understand. And the reason for that is proper teaching. And this is what we try to pass out, the proper teaching of the word of Yahweh. Because we have to be aware, by knowing the scriptures, there are those that out there, as I said before, camouflage evil teachings for righteous learning. This is on a daily basis. So we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry. Coming to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahweh's word. Connecting the books for your Bible education. Your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because you have not. This is information that you all came to seek, and you found that what you have sought in Yahweh's ministry. That's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We generally don't have a class on Tuesday unless we have a special event. Now, we do have a Sabbath class. Now, the top part of Sabbath is Friday. Our current time is starting at 7:15 to 10:15 due to the time changes in the season. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. The temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m., until our temple members desire to leave. Now, we have a website address that the listening members can use. To get there, open up any one of the search engines on any one of those smart devices. Write on the search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After you click enter, just under the line, you're going to see some choices. One is going to be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you might see menu. But again, after clicking that, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahweh, your kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that we're doing this to remember that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahweh Live. Also to build a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar. Keep yourself, family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. For the live program, this is a feature that's only available during live broadcast time. Well, to get there, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. This time, type three words, Yahweh Radio Live. After click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as this appears, and this will put you right into a live online broadcast. We're using two email addresses currently. The first email for the listening members to use is tribe, that's T-R-I-B-E-Y-H-D-H, @gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answer, or related topics. The other is yhdhysrael @gmail.com. Also for biblical subjects, related topics, you can even state how our program was enjoyed by you. One note, please do not call any previous numbers for this year during program time, as not to disturb the words of Yahweh. We've taken a few verses from the Bible to explain why. In the book of Sirach, chapter 11, verse 8, it says, enter not before I've heard the calls, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk. The other comes from the book of James. We look at chapter 1, verse 26. 26 says, if any man or woman among you seem to be religious and bridle not his or her tongue, but deceives his or her own mind, this man or woman's religion is vain. But you can imagine There's still those that out there to do the opposite of what the scriptures say. I often see the one violated of Sirach chapter 11, verse 8, quite often. You try to give someone some good information, they're giving you the answer before you even get it out of your lips good. Well, this is what we experience. People calling during the program announcement are causing some sort of disruption when the words of Yahuwah are being spoken unto you. And I suppose they may not be familiar or just ignore what Yahuwah the Son has told us in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 29. 29 says, Yahuwah the Son answered and said unto them, ye do error, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Yahuwah. And another reminder, we'll mention it again, by no means contact us here, direct for questions, via voicemail, email, or text. The reason why this is mentioned quite often is because he receives many memos every day, even having thoughts of running just a memo show. Getting, calls from the stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and mostly important, preparing Yahuwah's lesson before our program starts. Remember, even doing all this work, she is also one man, limited by Yahuwah's creation to only 100% of what one man can do. So please place all your calls to the international line. You will receive a call back if it's legit, because if you might imagine, many of our questions can be answered by one of our anointed camps. Thank you for your consideration. Yahuwah be with you all. Now, the numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind, the first would be our live conference room number. This is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is the international number where you can call, leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But I guess by now, you may have imagined, not the seer. He's often tried to exceed the Yahuwah's creation of 100% and found that this is impossible, as quoted in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 26. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of the program, you can always catch the entire show at 9:15 p.m., of course, except for Fridays. Friday's program probably will be repeated after 10:30. For current start time. To get there, open up any search engine and once again type in the three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Choose the program that you were late logging into, or actually any previous day that you would like to listen. One other good note, we're in the process of making it possible to get a CD or DVD recording of any program by request. Just call the international line to order any particular day or number of days. Well, as I said before, we know that this is another day for Yahuwah's word, and we know that people take those words and they change it around, as I said before, to make it mean something else. We have many of us out there that commend Yahuwah's word and add on to it, like myself, only following by others listening, casting the same word we listen to behind their backs, wanting to hear certain verses in the Bible they like. Of course, taking that meaning another way, along with the noisemakers, complainers, wanting to be a deceptive listener, flipping those pages to look like they're paying attention, but are completely lost when they're called to speak. Doing this, they've clearly forgotten we're only one man or one woman, and seriously, time is not in our favor, but the best is yet to come. Remember, we can only do, as I said before, 100% of what one man or one woman that was Yahuwah created to do in this life, and that's if at all possible. I find myself coming close to 80%, sometimes just can't make that 100. Because if you hear anyone says they've even done 101%, they just lie. Now they're doing the work of another past Yahuwah's creation. That's impossible. Remember what I said about the impossible in the book of Matthew, 19:26? 26 says, but Yahuwah the Son beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with Yahuwah all things are possible. As we begin to learn the Bible, and understand what different things are told us means, we begin to realize that the Bible tells us as a man or woman, we're measured by our works, the things we think, do, and say. So we look at the book of James to hear that, chapter 2, verse 18. 18 says, yea, a man or woman may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So this is why we do works here at Yahuwah's Ministry. We always say, that's why a teacher always has to show worthiness, because the teacher that opens the door for all of his students has to walk through that same door himself. Remember, because there's those out there that ask questions for learning, and those that ask just to see if you really know or to trip you up like a Pharisee. That's why I always say a teacher can't learn from his students. But already having knowledge of teaching, the teacher even gains more experience by teaching. So we will pass our program back to our seer, Israel. Keep those Bibles open. This is a continuing learning process. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. I'm still asking again and get a minute. Just spread some books out, and then we're going to throw a couple of verses down the still. So spread your books out a little bit. And we're going to throw a couple of verses over on the table. And got a lot of memos on the table. And this, especially from Seer, don't call out our organization. But the question we have here, why do Paul changed the Sabbath day to Sunday? And can you help us out on what this verse means? Oh, Paul changed the Sabbath day? Oh, okay. So Paul got the authority to change the Sabbath day, huh? All right, good enough. So I tell you what, you know, we know when this memo is legit and we will not make your organization be known. I think what we'll do, I think we will touch on that for a minute. All right, good enough. So remember one thing. Mr. Tibbs, can you find Wisdom of Solomon 16, verse 12, just to get started on a few verses? Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 16, verse 12. It's something I want to take care of that. Anonymous ministry, we will not tell who you are, but I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll touch on that a little bit. We'll see exactly what did Paul change Sabbath day to the Christian first day of the week, Sunday. All right, we'll take a look at that in a minute. Tibbs, Can you find Wisdom of Solomon 16, verse 12 for a quick minute there, Mr. Phipps?
Okay. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 16, verse number 12. Verse 12 says,
yes, sir.
For it was neither herb nor mollifying plaster that restored them to health, but thy word, O Yahuwah, which had healed all things.
So there it is right there, see, right here. What really heals you is the word. See, you too, if you want to get the great healer, like we tell you about how to change the way you eat according to the Bible, but remember one thing, you cannot order the water and say, hold back the wet. You have to change your mindset, and you got to have your Yahuwah in front of you. You got to have your Yahuwah first, and you must stay among people that's in the Bible scriptures, then that air stepper will go good, and that'll work good for you. Then he got a verse in 1 John, the right side of the book, 3:22, waiting on you. Then he have a verse waiting on you after you got your Yahuwah first. You stand in the company of those that Bible literate. Then you get on that got tight back and legs has all got arthritis in it, moving real slow, and you get your blood working real good. But all that will work. But then, but this is what Yahweh says in 1 John, right side of the book, chapter 3, verse 22. What did he say, Mr. Tibson? 1 John, chapter 3, verse 22. What did he say?
The book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 22. 22 says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, Torah instructions, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
So now ask him something. See, now you can ask him something. When you're keeping the Torah instruction, when you're doing what the man is telling you to do, then the man be waiting on you to ask him what, you know, he be, just like Moses told Yahweh, this thing is too heavy for me. Then once he present his petition to his mighty one, then Yahweh told him what he can do for that. So the key to it is, the first thing you have to make sure, do you line up with thus says Yahweh's word? Now, if you not line up with his words, if you not line up with his word, according to the book of Hebrew, chapter 8, verse 9, polluted for Hebrew, what it says in 8, verse 9. Now, suppose you not line up with his word, and you hear about the dietary, you hear about the air step of getting your body all together, inside working, you're doing all that good stuff, but look what Yahweh, Paul was invited to the great big temple of Southern Kingdom. He was invited there. And Paul received the microphone from Peter, and this is what Paul said to the Southern Kingdom at the temple in the book of Hebrew, a little title called Hebrew, chapter 8, verse 9. Listen to what he says. You're on the clock. Come on.
The book of Hebrew, polluted title called Hebrew, chapter 8, verse number 9. Verse 9 says, according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, polluted word Egypt, Mizraim, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Yahweh.
See that? And he regarded you not because you didn't continue in the covenant. So the key to it is you stay in the covenant. Then you got right to ask him something, because he'd be waiting on you to ask him something, just like Moses did in the 11th chapter. He said, Yahweh, this thing too heavy for me. He said, too heavy for me. Then he told him what to do in verse 16 of the 11th chapter of Numbers. You go get me 70 men that you know that is all right with you. Then I will come down and take that same spirit that's on you, and I will put it on them. So that's how it works. See, right here. So keep that in your mind. For Yahweh to work with you, you must make sure you line over what he got written in this book. So like I said again, now we're going to take a look at what this big organization got saying Paul changed the Sabbath day to Sunday, and we're going to touch on that. But first thing we can go on and do, Mr. Tills, we're going to get all the help we need. How about getting that microphone and see what Luke chapter 12, verse 12 say? What do Luke 12 say?
Okay, Luke chapter 12, verse number 12 says, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
That's right, Mr. Tibbs. In that very same hour, the righteous mental spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And like you said earlier, this is the largest class ever to attend a Voices of the True Israelite setting. This is the largest class ever. So, and the reason why, because it's answers they want to know. And what we're going to do, we're going to take a look at what we need to know by going to Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Let's open up right there. Let's open up in Revelation 12, 9 there, Brother Mr. Tiff. Take number 53, the largest class ever, 103-429, largest class ever to attend a Voices of a True Israelite. So this must be a historical teaching going to have to be, and we'll see what we can do with it. Let's take a look at Revelation 12, 9 to understand something we need to know. What it say in Revelation 12, 9?
Revelation chapter 12, verse number 9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which delivered the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his minister spirit were cast out with him."
Mm-hmm. He deceived the whole earth. That's what he did. He deceived the whole earth. He was cast out, and he had to deceive the whole earth. And that's what he did. He deceived the whole earth. Now, for him to deceive the whole earth, he must find him a people. He got to find a people to work with, but let's see what kind of carrots do he pass out. We're going to find out what do he work with to get your attention. Now, if he don't deceive the whole earth, and we own the earth, so what do he use as a bait to the whole earth? Let's see if we find out what do he use as a bait. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Run to Matthew chapter 4, Mr. Tibbs. Let's see what will he use as a bait to deceive the whole world. Let's try to find out what do he works with. What do he offer the world that we can read? We're going to Matthew chapter 4, Mr. Tibbs. Let's see what Satan offers, what he offers the peoples in writing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, and we'll pick it up at verse number 5. Let's pick up at verse 5. Let's read a little bit, and let's see what he worked with. Take it on to verse number 9. Matthew 4, 5 through 9, the largest class ever. Listen good as we set up what Satan works with. Then all you got to do is examine yourself and see, do you fall upon the Satan or upon the Yahuwah? What did it say that, Mr. Tibbs? Come on.
The book of Matthew is chapter 4, starting at verse 5 to verse number 9. Verse 5, "Then the devil, taking him up into the righteous city, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. 6, and said unto him, If thou be the son of Yahuwah, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his minister spirits charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. 7, Yahuwah the Son said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Yahuwah thy Yahuwah. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. 9, and said unto him, All these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me."
So his calling card is to offer you a position. He offer you a highly positioned, but one thing you must do is worship me. Now, the organization say they want to stay anonymous. They don't want to call them out, and we're not going to do that. Because like I said, again, our thing is to try to help all that need to understand the word of Yahweh. So we will break that down. So we find out that Satan says, if you worship him, and he went right to the, he went to the top man. Let's see what man he went to first. Let's see, why did he go to the top man? Let's precept that to the book of Hebrew. Luther title called Hebrew. Let's find out why did he go directly and tempt Yahweh the Son. Let's find out what Yahweh the Son working with that he had to go to the top. Let's go to and look at what's written. Let's see, can we run this down and see why did he go and tempt Yahweh the Son in the book of Hebrew? Luther's title called Hebrew, and we'll stop off in chapter 2, Mr. Tibbs. We'll stop off in chapter 2, and we'll see what it says in verse number 10. Let's take a look at 2 verse 10 first, Mr. Tibbs. 2:10, what does it say?
The book of Hebrew, polluted title Hebrew. We're looking at chapter 2, verse number 10. Verse 10 says, for it became him for whom we all things and by whom all our things, and in bringing many sons unto glory, to make them a captain of their salvation, perfect through all through sufferings.
Mm-hmm. To make the captain. So this guy is the captain of our salvation, perfect through suffering. So he went to the guy that was the captain of your salvation. So he went to the top of the heap. He said, if I can get the top of the heap to worship me, then I got all the rest of them because I got the top of the heap worshiping me. So he went to the captain of your salvation and told the captain, you ain't hit nothing in 40 days, you're in bad shape. And if you worship me, all these kingdoms I will give to you. That he told the captain. So he always, Satan gonna always start with those that got an opportunity to do something to free the peoples. That's example. So now let's go back, let's go a little further and get another witness in the same book of Hebrew, polluted title called Hebrew. And let's see what it says in 12 verse 2. So we sit in the stage and showing you why Satan will pick on who he feel that is a threat that will not do his policy. 12 verse 2. What do 12 verse 2 say?
The book of Hebrew, polluted title called Hebrew, chapter 12, verse number 2. Verse 2 says, looking into Yahweh the Son, the author and finisher of our faith covenant, who for the joy that it was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh.
So he's the author and the finisher. So he went to the author and the finisher. He said, if I can get the author and the finisher, then I'd get everybody else, because let me knock down the author and the finisher. This is the author and the finisher. So if I can knock him off and show him up the road some great things, then he will deceive everybody else. So that's why I got to work on him. Now let's go to Luke 22. See, let's lay a little foundation down, because we're going to answer the question that's on the table, but we got to lay the foundation how Satan operates. He always operates in a way that if you are a threat He will show up and visit you if you are a threat to what he got on the table. And we clear that the biggest in the on planet Earth today until on saved ministry is the six anointed camps of Voices of the True Israelite. That is plainly understood. The threat. Because now Yahweh the Son had the chief speaker of the nation of Israel on his feet. Then he had to tell him something. He says, you the chief speaker of the nation of Israel? He said, yeah. He said, well, I got something to tell you, my chief speaker of the nation of Israel. I got something to tell you in Luke 22. We'll pick up verse 28 down to verse 32. Now, Yahweh is going to look the chief speaker of the nation of Israel. And he's going to look him eyeball to eyeball, and he's going to tell him something. And let's see what he's saying in verse 28 to 32 there. Mr. Tips, you're back on the clock. Come on.
Okay, the book of Luke, looking at chapter 22, verse 28 to verse number 32. Verse 28 says, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. 29, and I anoint unto you a kingdom as my Father had anointed unto me. 30, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on my thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. 31. And Yahweh said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. 32. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith covenant fail not. And then when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
Yeah. He said, now, Peter, you became the chief teacher of the nation of Israel. And he says, and I appointed unto you a kingdom as my Father had appointed unto me. So you've been appointed, Peter. Now, once you in that spotlight, understand one thing. Guess who's going to come visit you right away? Satan the devil. So those that, as long as you land back, straddling the fence, he don't worry about you. He said, I got them because they straddling the fence. But when you step up to be a frontliner in Yahweh, Satan immediately going to come and test you. So that's the way he was telling Peter, now listen. You is the chief speaker of the nation of Israel. Satan going to come to you before he come to the other level. So now, listen, but I know he coming, but I can't stand in your way. He says in verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith, your belief, fail not. Now, when you get stricken and go through this, take this to your brother. So once you get on your feet and you is able to deal with some Satan, don't just sit on the sideline. Now go show your brother that you next. Because anyone that go hard and straight for Yahweh's word gonna run into Satan the devil. Now Peter went to the great big temple in 417, and Peter told them what Yahweh have said. So Peter knew he was Yahweh had returned back to heaven. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, he remembered what Yahweh told him. So here he come now to the great big southern kingdom temple. And now he better open his mouth to those that got a ear to hear. And look what he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. What did he say, Mr. Tibbs?
The book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 17 and verse number 18. 17 says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. And if it is first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel covenant of Yahweh?" 18. "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the unyakwali and the sinner transgressor appear?"
He said, "This thing ain't gonna start." He told him, "Listen, as I deliver this message to you," he says, "it's gonna," he said, "all Satan gonna throw everything at us. It gonna start with us." But he says, "But understand one thing, by you holding on and going through the temptation, but guess what? Those that drag their feet," he said, "only through scarcely going to make this thing anyway." Read it one more time, because that's a big verse there. So he letting them know, this ain't no cakewalk. And that's what we tell the six anointed camp, this ain't no cakewalk. Look forward to get a jab to the mouth and some dust to ask Yahweh. It ain't no way of getting around it. And the first one will give you a jab to the mouth is the closest one to you. Your closest loved one to you going to be the one to give you a jab to the mouth and some dust to ask Yahweh. But you got to be able to endure that according to Scripture. So when Peter was strengthened from the, and Yahweh said, "I'm going to pray for you now, but I can't intervene. It's up to you now when the trials come." Now, once you on your feet, Peter, now go strengthen your brother. So now here he go to the temple to strengthen the brothers. The 11 is there. Those that got an ear to hear is there, you know, because it is the day that everybody comes to worship. So here go the chief speaker of the nation of Israel, standing before the southern kingdom of Yahdah Judah. He got his hand on the microphone. And what he said in verse 17 and 18, one more time.
The book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 17 and verse 18. 17 says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the covenant gospel of Yahweh?" 18. "And if the righteous be scarcely be saved, where shall the unyakwali and the transgressor sinner appear?"
They say, "You got no choice." He said, "Look here, it's like this. If you make this thing, a few of you is going to make it." But he said, "But guess what? The ones that stay on the fence, their punishment is going to be gruesome." Matter of fact, I'm going to put a rabbit out of there. Let me show you how their punishment is going to be when you think you is not doing Yahweh's business. Let's back up to 2 Ezra chapter 2 there, Mr. Tibbs. Let's look at 2 Ezra chapter 2, verse 25 to 27. So let me talk a little bit to this national audience, since this is the largest class ever to ever attend this radio broadcast. Let me tell you something. He just said, the righteous is going to scarcely make it. But the ones that sit there and drag their feet, he said, they are going to be in more trouble than you're going to be into. Because we're going to read something, because the middle spirits are now, you got to tie that in, seer. Now let's precept that a little bit, and let's tie that in, because you own something for this largest class ever. So what you reading there, Mr. Tibbs?
Okay. In that book of 2 Ezra, what was the chapter and verse again?
Chapter 2. Let's look at 2 Ezra chapter 2, verse 25 through 27. Now, we got to bring the seer in, let him say something, because he's saying something to the captivity of Southern Kingdom. So now he got something to say. He was told to go tell southern kingdom something in 2 Ezra chapter 2, verse 25 to 27. What did he say there, Mr. Tibbs?
Book of 2 Esther, chapter 2, verses 25 to 27. 25 says, nourish thy children, O through Yahuwah. Punish their feet. 26. As far as the servants whom I have given thee, there shall not one of them perish, for I will acquire them away from thy number. 27. But not weary for them when the day of trouble and heaviness coming. Others will weep, and he sorrow, but shall be merry and have abundance.
Mm-hmm. Well, for some reason, evidently, I'll blow something, Mr. Tibbs, because I'm laying back now, getting all locked in now. Make that 2 Ezra chapter 1, verse 25 to 27, because right now, I'm stuck now. I don't know where to go from there, because I'm waiting to hear me something. I ain't hearing nothing. So back up and make that 2 Ezra chapter 1, verse 25 to 27, because right now, I'm stuck right now. So now I need to hear me something so I can get going on something else. Make that 2 Ezra 1, 25 through 27, or I might have to put that verse down and come back with it a little bit later. Chapter 1, 2 Ezra chapter 1, okay. 25 through 27. What that tips?
Okay, 2 Ezra chapter 1, verse 25 to verse number 27. 25 said, seeing you have forsaken me, I will forsake you also. When ye desire me to be gracious unto you, I shall have no mercy upon you. 26. Whensoever you shall come, call upon me, I will not hear you. For you have defiled your hands with blood, and your feet are swift to commit manslaughter. 27. You have not, as it were, forsaken me, but for your own self, saith the Yahuwah.
Oh, you hear that man just said? He said, you ain't forsaking me. He said, when you don't keep the Sabbath day, when you understand what I got written, you're not forsaking me. You're forsaking your own self. You see, voices of the true Israelite is the light to tell you what he got to say on the table. He said, now, when you're not doing what Yahuwah is saying, you're not forsaking the six anointed camps. You're forsaking yourself. And one day you might need him to, and he just said, and I'm going to tell you, I don't hear you. That's what he said. So now read that again, Mr. Tibbs. That was pretty good. So he understand one thing. See, the six anointed camps, all the gates is open all over the known world. You call for details on 224-600-5579. Get into one of the camps, come in with big ears and little mouth, and understand one thing. The Sabbath day is a requirement of Yahuwah. When you don't make the showing, you're not forsaking the six anointed camps. We are made available for you to come in and learn and keep Sabbath like they keep Sabbath in heaven on the Sabbath day. You forsaking your own self when you don't keep the Sabbath day the way Yahuwah tell you do it. Now read that again. Read verse 25 and 27. We'll leave out verse 26. Read verse 25 and read a little bit louder there, Mr. Tibbs. WCC said, Kevin's tip, turn up a little more audio. Excellent. All right, verse 25 and 27. One more time, Mr. Tibbs, a little bit louder. Come on.
Book of First Esther, chapter 1. Reading verse 25 and verse 27. 25, seeing ye have forsaken me, I will forsake you also. When you desire me to be gracious unto you, I shall have no mercy upon you. 27, ye have not,
as it were, forsaken me, but for your own selves, says the Yahuwah.
You're the man saying the tears? The man making the plain. You ain't forsaken. You see, remember, he received a book in Revelation 5:5, was written in that book. He received that book. But now, let's precept that, and let me let you hear what this man's saying. We'll precept that to St. John 12, verse 46 down to verse 50. He's going to tell you everything you need to know. See, when you don't do Yahuwah's will, he's going to make it plain to those that got an ear to hear what he's saying in St. John 12, verse 46 down to verse 50. What he say there, Mr. Tibb? What he say? What he say in St. John 12, 46 down to verse 50? What did the Almighty say to those that got an ear to hear? Come on.
St. John chapter 12, verse number 46 through 50. Verse 46, and I come a light unto the world, that whatsoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. 47, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. 48, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment or instructions what I should say and what I should speak. 50. And I know that his commandments, Torah instructions, is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak.
That's big talk there, Mr. Tibbs. Mr. Tibbs, that big talk you just said, he said, listen, this thing ain't mine. He said, the Father gave me. He said, everything I'm speaking, he gave me a book to read, and I'm coming to fulfill the part that he gave me. He's but the same words that I'm telling you is going to be the words that judge you in the last days. He said, look here, I'm just doing his will. And like we call these networks, we just doing what he give us to do. It's up to you to look at these scriptures and say, wait a minute. Either I'm going to be in the kingdom or I'm going to be in the fire. That's your only choice you got. Either you don't know when the man going to shut you down. But remember, we're going to be teaching on in a minute. Now, Paul changed the Sabbath day. But we just read right there and here that whatever was said, that it's going to stand because it's the Father's word. He said, this is not my teaching. It's his teaching. I got to precept that. Back up to the seventh chapter. Mr. Tibbs? Or St. John. I got to back up a little bit. I got to precept that too. Back up to the seventh chapter. He said, yeah, see, that's all right, but precept that too. Make it plain that if the Almighty that made the heaven and earth said this is not his teaching, this teaching came from the Father. So now, and what we is bringing to the six anointed camps is what came from the Son that delivered his message. And this is what he says in the seventh chapter, particularly verse 14. And we'll take it down to verse 18. Listen to what he says in St. John chapter 7, verse 14 to 18. Mr. Tibbs, come on.
The book of St. John, chapter 7, reading verses 14 to 18. 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Yahuwah the Son went up into the temple and taught. 15. And the Jews marveled, saying, knoweth this man letters, having learned? 16. Yahuwah the Son answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. 18. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of Yahuwah or whether I speak of myself. 18. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his own glory that sent him, the same is true. And no unrighteousness is in him.
Mm-hmm. So it's, again, you know, told you, it's not, he said, this is not my teaching. He said he went to the temple in verse 15, and when he got to the temple, he seen Jews polluted for Yahdah Judah, southern kingdom. That was the word Jews polluted for Yahdah Judah. So when he got there, Yahdah Judah was there. So he letting them know, listen, I'm coming to the temple to tell you something. This is not my teaching. Although you seeing me bring the teaching to you, but it's not mine. It is the Father, and then Yahuwah the Son put the 12 together and told Peter, listen, Peter, this is not my teaching. So when you get to them temples, you tell them this is not your teaching. This is the way it's going to be, and we can read exactly what's going to happen if you fall short and he takes the breath from you, because this guy is the Zechariah. Let me show you who this guy is. This guy is one was talking. He'll tell you about it. He'll tell a seer what kind of man he is. And Zechariah, he's going to tell a seer what kind of man he is. He said, hey, Zechariah. He said, yes. Are you the seer of the hour right now? He said, yes. Well, then you put down what I tell you to put down. Let's see what he told the seer to put down in the 12th chapter of Zechariah, verse number 1. What he tell the seer of Israel to put down in Zechariah 12, verse 1. He said, I want you to make sure you tell them this. What he said in 12:1.
The book of Zechariah, chapter 12, verse number 1, says, the burden of the word of the Yahuwah of Israel, for Israel, saith the Yahuwah, which stretches forth the heavens, and layeth the foundations of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him.
Well, you mean this man right here got your breath that you breathe in the palm of his hand? And you don't want to hear nothing he got to say? Imagine somebody got the chokehold on you and you running your mouth. He said, listen, I got the chokehold on you and I got both of your arms pinned down with my knees and you still running your mouth? This man saying, you tell the children of Israel, I'm the one that laid the foundation of the earth and formed the spirit, which is the breath and man within him. That's big talk, but that's it right here. So this is the kind of guy he's supposed to hear to. So this man right here can cut your breath off. This man can cut your breath off, and he told the seers exactly what's going to happen if you fall short of keeping the Father's book at a time appointed. Now we're going to run and see exactly what he's saying in 66:24. Now the children of Israel, they are made to the kingdom. See, that's Christianity about a up and away we're gone. See, that's Christianity. That's the greatest and the worstest drug of anything is Christianity. Christianity is a kind of drug that will, it is the worstest drug that ever been created was Christianity. And Islam is second. Because it takes you away from what this book is saying. We don't go read exactly from the mouth of the seer that Paul could not take away the Sabbath day because he's been telling you something. And when you read the word new moon, it means new months. So we'll pick it up at verse 23. We'll pick it up at verse 22. When you see the word moon in the Bible, it means months. Although that's when we'll break that down. But 66 verse 22 to 25, there, we're going to read the future. Exactly. So the question is, Paul removed the Sabbath day, so that's why we go to church on Sunday, because Paul removed the Sabbath day. Okay, good. We'll let you have that. But let the scripture tell you what's on the table. We just got through reading in 12 verse 50 of St. John that the Torah instruction is life. But we're not going to stop right there. We're going to read the end time prophecy on exactly how it's going to be and what you're going to see after service is over in Isaiah 66. Pick up verse 22. Let's talk about it. Come on.
The book of Isaiah, chapter?
Yes, sir. 66.
What chapter and verse?
Chapter
66, gonna pick verse number 22.
Yeah, pick up that up, number. Pick up a verse 22. Let's just walk down into it. Now, listen to this right here by the mouth of the seer that was told by the ministering spirit that the Father and the Son sent him down here. He said, you tell old Isaiah, this is how it's going to be. And let's see what he got written in 66, verse 22 down to verse 24. What well, they got written, Mr. Tibbs?
The book of Isaiah, looking at chapter 66, reading from verse 22 to verse 24. 22, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I shall make, shall remain before me, saith the Yahuwah, so shall your seed and your name remain. 23, and it shall come to pass that from the new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Yahuwah. 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh.
You hear me, Tibbs? He says, he told Isaiah, he says in verse 23, he said, it come to pass, he said, it shall come to pass that from one new month to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, says the four-letter man. Now, so he's saying, in the kingdom, you're going to keep the Sabbath day. So you're going to keep the Sabbath day in the kingdom. So if Paul changed it, then evidently you must be reading something wrong. Because he said, when you make it to the kingdom, you're going to keep the Sabbath day because I'm going to be there and all flesh is going to come before me. Then he said, after the service is over. Now, once the service is over, I want to take y'all somewhere. He said, I'm going to take you somewhere after the Sabbath day class is over. And where are they going to? Verse 24. And they shall go forward after the Sabbath and look upon the carcasses of the men and women that have sinned against me. For they worms cannot die. Not only he gonna put some worms on you and they shall not die. Neither shall the fire be quenched. He said not only you gonna be burning in the fire, you're going to have spiritual worms biting on you at the same time. And what is that look going to do for you after Sabbath crash? Let's see what he say. And they that have made it to the kingdom shall be a horn. It shall be a horn upon all flesh. You're going to look at and see all the ones that refuse to keep that Sabbath day, refuse to keep that feast day, refuse to get in where they fit in at, burning in the fire, and worms is going to be can they tear up. He said, I'm going to take you after the Sabbath day, and for you can look on the peoples that refuse to do my Sabbath day. So Paul could not have changed the Sabbath day. And how we know that? Let's see what Paul said out of his own mouth in 24, verse 14. So you see, big camps and big organizations, we got many ways, so we don't know how we're going to bring the message to you, but Paul could not have changed nothing. Because look what Paul said out of his own mouth in the 24th chapter of Acts, verse 14. So Paul could not have changed the Sabbath day. He don't have that kind of power. Because Paul could tell you out of his own mouth what he's working with in the 24th chapter, verse 14. Now, let's see what Paul said. You believe Paul? Let's see what Paul says in 24th chapter of Acts, verse 14. What did he say there, Mr. T? What did Paul say out of his own mouth in 24th, verse 14?
In the book of Acts, we're looking at chapter 24, verse number 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy to worship, I, the Yahweh of my father, believe all things which are written in the law for instructions and in the prophets, seers.
Now you see that? You see what Paul just said? Paul said, that's heresy. He said, y'all lying on me. I ain't changed no Sabbath day. I ain't had the power. He said, I believe everything that's written in the Torah instruction in the first five books and the seals. He said, I believe all things that's written. You see that? So you see how it's easy to let the world bump the gongs, and the reason you keep in Sunday, the reason why your pastors and your loved ones keeping Sunday, because your leaders have, let's go get a closing statement. This will really happen. Now let's go back to Luke chapter 4. So what happened, the reason why you go to worship on Sunday, because you have bowed down to Satan. Satan has got your pastor, your overseer, by the throat. Because they is going with traditions of men. Paul did not change the Sabbath day. Paul just told you, I believe everything that's written in the first five books and in the seals. Now, that's what he said in his own mouth. Now, you think Paul lying? But now, let's go back to Luke chapter 4. Mr. Tibbs, let's see what really happens. So those that keep Sunday, you're up under a ministry of Satan, the devil. You're not up under the ministry of the man. Paul says, I believe everything that's written in Torah, first five books, and the seals. That's what he just said out of his mouth. I believe everything that's written. And everything that's written saying, keep my Sabbath day. Huh? So now, who lying? That man that stand before you, that opened them doors on Sunday, or that woman that opened the door before Sunday. So Paul said he ain't lying. But let's see where they get that from. And we'll close out with this, and you come on back and give your closing statement. That Mr. Gibbs, that was excellent on your part. You held down in grand style. And we appreciate that in grand style. Let's go back to Luke 4. Let's see who got enticed to fall up under that. And Luke chapter 4, verse 5 through 7, and then we'll let you close out there, Mr. Tibbs. Let's even say in Luke chapter 4, verse 5 through 7. What does it say, Mr. Tibbs? Luke chapter 4, self. Let's see, can we analyze what's really going on?
The book of Luke, looking at chapter 4, reading verses 5 to verse 7. Verse 5 says, "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him unto all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." 6. "And the devil said unto him, All this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will give it. 7. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine."
And when you worship in him, that means you do not keep the Sabbath day. That means you do not keep Friday to Saturday. You keep your own thing behind your own curtain. You worshiping Satan. You're not following Yahweh's way. When you're following Yahweh's way, you do it where Yahweh tell you to do. He said every Sabbath day you have a righteous gathering. Huh? And six anointed camps, all the gates open to be there. So when you go on Sunday, first day of the week, be clear that you're worshiping Satan, the devil, and the ministers that open that door up on Sunday. He is already a part of the lake of fire, and you're going to be in the lake of fire with him, because Paul did not change anything. Yahweh the Son did not change anything, because they didn't have the power to do it. And we read that when it's all said and done, the ones that don't take heed to this message, you're going to be able to go forward and look right on them that didn't keep that Sabbath day, and they're going to be in the fire. And worms going to be burning, with fire, and worms going to be biting them at the same time. And you're going to go look at them according to 66:24 of Isaiah. You can go look right at that preacher that opened that door on Sunday, was male and female, and they're going to be in the fire according to Isaiah 66, verse 24. That's what the seer wrote. He told the seer, you put this in the book. They ain't going to listen to you, but you put it there. Because when I burn them in the fire, they know they've been told. Mr. Till, what your closing statement is, and what have you got to say, and you held down in grand style, you on the clock, come up.
Well, first of all, Yahweh bless you, Brother Sear, and thank you for giving me an opening stance and ministry for speaking once again. What I would like to say to everybody in the audience, I do the speaking sometimes for the commentaries of this program, and by a lot of people knowing me personally, they will challenge my belief in Yahweh, which means that you have to be word up in the Bible. I get challenges every day. And most of the people that's listening to me on this program, some know me personally, and some know that what I'm saying is of the truth. Not only do I read this scripture, the difference is I believe that which I read. Because I was approached by a gentleman just the other day. He says, "Mr. Tibbs, you know, I have a message that I need to deliver from you." And I say, "Where'd this message come from?" "From Yahweh." I says, "Oh, okay. I think we better do some Bible rather than open word conversation." So his comment was, "You still refuse the message that was given to me to give to you, so you may share it with all those that are listening to you." At that time, it made me think of Satan the devil. Here I'm speaking on a program with a ministry of over 104,000 some people that are listening to my words. And if I believe not that what I say of the Bible and that what the seers speak, I'm giving everybody combined troubles, which I refuse to do. So I told them, next time you want to speak, let's do open Bible, and we will walk together, what they say, rehearse the righteous act. So at this time, I will back out of the program. But before I do, I would like to drop on the table Revelation from the book of Revelations, chapter 1, verse number 3. And 3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they hear the words of this prophecy, and keep all those things which are written therein. for the time is at hand.
So I do believe time is at hand. I know most of the listeners out there know time is at hand, and that's why we have an increased number in the ministry. So keep those Bibles open. Do yourself a favor and your loved ones, and stay strong in the word of Yahweh. At this time, I'll pass the program back to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, I'm Mr. Ed. Well, remember, we got this memo saying Paul changed the Sabbath day, and that's why the churches keep Sunday, because Paul gave another message. No, Paul just said out of his own mouth, no, I did not. So whoever told you that, that came from Satan the devil. Paul said, no, I did not. Paul said in Acts 24:14, I believe everything that's written in Torah instruction and the seal. So Paul said, you lying on me. If you keeping Sunday, it's because your pastor, male or female, just wants the crumbs from the master's table. But you better tell them this at the end when it's all said and done. I bet you, according to 6:24, according to what we can read, you and everybody attend them Sunday organization will be burnt in the lake of fire with worms on them, according to 6:24 of Isaiah. He said, you're going to be there after the Sabbath day class is over. He said, I'm going to take you where the men and women that have sinned against me. And you're going to be able to look on them, burning in the fire with worms on them, and they're going to be a haunter of all flesh. You're going to say, God, go. But see, Yahweh, I got to do something for your spirit, and we took that in other lessons for you to be able to look at it, and it won't mess you up. He's going to do something for you in other lessons. We already took that, what he's going to do for you. Well, look at WCC say. Well, Sid, can you show us again what, how is we going to enjoy that, seeing our closest loved ones burning in the fire? Well, see, that's why I tell you, WCC, if you miss a class, you miss a lot. But we'll, if we got time, we'll take care of that, too. We might go back over that, too. All right, good enough. Let's see if I find the mothers and bring. I was asking Mr. Tibbs, you done your part in grand style. Now we're going to go bring the mothers in, and we're going for the clothes. So, one thing about it, see right here, you heard it plainly. If anybody telling you to keep Sunday and contribute to Sunday, male or female, open their doors up on Sunday, you on the wrong track. And according to 6:24, you will and they will be burnt in the fire with worms on them when it's all said and done. You can read for yourself. Paul ain't changed nothing. But we're going to go see, you think Paul did, and we're going to see, will it hold up if you shine the light on it? We know what verses you're going to go and say what Paul did, but we're going to go look at them same verses, and we're going to see, can it hold up when you meet the mothers out of Camp One? With a loud voice you say, Mother D.F. Israel. Yahweh be with you there, Seer Ray.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Seer Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Mother E. Mother C. Israel, tribe of Yahweh Judah. Mother E. Yahweh be with you there, Seer Ray.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Seer Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Yahweh, like Mr. Till said, it's the largest class to ever attend this ministry. 103-429 is flashing. And the question that the camp saying, this big organization said, we don't want to be exposed. Let us stay anonymous, man. Because we keep Sunday because Paul changed the day from Saturday to Sunday. Mm. And we just read in 24, verse 14, That didn't happen. Not according to Paul's mouth. But we're going to see, let's get a little bit more of Paul's mouth. And let's see, if you believe Paul's right, then you'll believe Paul's mouth. Now, Mother D.F. Israel, let's read what it says in Acts 17, 1 and 2. And Mother E, have me 18, 4 waiting on me. Let's just see, what did Paul say out of his own mouth, and what did Paul did? See, you know, we're going to teach on King James the 6th and the 1st, 6th and the 1st, what that means, because they got a lot of bad teaching on King James, too. And we're going to teach on that, too, because we got to teach on everything. That's why I said we don't have time to digress. That's why I would tell you, if you got any questions or comments, get in contact with the international line. And the Sixth Anointed Camps can answer your question, but the seer got so much to put on the table, just like what we're dealing with right now. So call the international line, and we'll direct your call to those that can answer any question that you have pertaining to the Bible. It's legitimate. 224-600-5579. Now, we could examine what this memo is saying about Paul. Now, we're gonna see what Paul working with, or is Paul down the fence? Now, Mother D.F. Israel, let's see what Paul in the 17th chapter 1, 2, backed up with Mother E in 18 verse 4. Let's go back to back and see what you're working with. Come on.
Chapter 17 verses 1 and 1 to 4.
It was 1 and 2.
Oh,
1 and 2.
Okay, now I may have some problem with this word. Okay, Acts chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a temple of Yahdah, Judah's southern kingdom. Verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures.
So Paul went to Thessalonica and Epiphanes, and he went all on which called in the land of Japhetic land, in Japhetic land, was polluted for Europe, and found a temple there where Yahdah Judah was there, and he went out there, and he went in there on three Sabbath days,
mm-hmm.
and reasoned with them out of. Wait a minute! So there he is right there. There he is right there now. Now Yahweh the Son is back in heaven. So now he's mm-hmm. going and reading the southern kingdom over there in Japhetic land called polluted for Europe, three Sabbath days. He says, mm-hmm. three Sabbath days. Oh, mm-hmm. maybe that odd Sabbath day kept Sunday. Let's find out in 18 verse 4. What did he do on that odd Sabbath day? 18 verse 4. Mother E, what did he do?
Book of Acts chapter 18. And he reasoned in the temple every Saturday and pursued the Yahdah Judah, the southern kingdom, and the Greeks, the 10 northern tribes.
So that was excellent, that Mother. You that's pretty good. Excellent. So now every Sabbath. So he made his move every Sabbath. Now, wait a minute. So how did Paul, that make Paul the biggest hypocrite? Why would he make his move every Sabbath to sit around southern and northern kingdom that's over there in Europe and wherever they at and tell you, but you keep Sunday the first day of the week? So you see, that don't add up. But we're going to show you first that you use the bank that it says that. But we're going to take care of that because that's just our job to do so. But I want Mother E, I want to back up a little bit, Mother E. I want to back up.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Paul in the 16th chapter, verse 9 and 12-13. Now, let's find where Paul is now. Now, Paul went somewhere else now. Let's go to the 16th chapter of Acts, and we'll pick it up at verse number 12 and 13. Acts 16, 12 and 13. What did it say there, Mother E?
Look at Acts chapter 16.
Read 9 to get warmed up. Let's find out what he's working with. Read verse 9, and we'll get warmed up in verse 9.
Acts chapter 16, verse 9 and 12 to 13.
Yes, ma'am.
Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Let me get it on that. Now, Macedonia is over there, is over there in Japhetic land called Europe, political Europe. So now, the Spirit came to Paul. Said, Paul, listen, a man is crying in Macedonia. He said, come, and what he's telling you, Paul, is come over and help us. See, that's why we understand something. Six anointing, we all about helping you understand, but according to Scripture. Now, if you want help, we can help you and show you what the Bible says. We don't have no special opinion about anything. We show what the Bible saying. The Spirit said, hey, Paul, you know there's a man over in Macedonia, over there in Japhetic land called Europe, saying, come over here and help us. Well, the next verse 12 and 13.
Verse 12. Book of Acts.
I'll tell you what,
16.
Hold that point. Now, hold that pump a minute. Let's see if he wait for his dinner. Let's see if he wait for his dinner or whatever. Read verse 10. I got to get 10 out the way. Read verse 10. Let's see what he did when he heard the message. Verse 10.
Book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endured to go into Macedonia. A suddenly, gathering that the Yahuwah had called us for to teach the covenant unto him.
Excellent. That's excellent, Mother. You and Mother Z, y'all must be doing a whole lot of big time studying. That was excellent. You brother, you know, I like when you deliver the knockout blow. That's a knockout blow you just delivered. So he didn't drag his feet. He didn't drag his feet. When the word came for him to step up to the plate, he said, look here. The cry is to take care of some Yahuwah's business. So whatever I'm doing, I'm putting that down and take care of me some Yahuwah's business. That's the same thing we can read in Acts chapter 8. Philip was laying there, you know, eating a cup of grapes. And then the Spirit said, hey, there's a brother over there reading the Bible over there in 30 and 31. He said, go on over there and get with him. Immediately he broke out running to get. See, that's the spirit that Yahuwah is talking about. If you got that breakout running spirit, then Yahuwah is going to say, that's the spirit of the Bible. That drag your feet. I don't know what I'm going to do. Baby, what you going to do? I don't know what. That don't work like that. You got to hear the call yourself. And you got to get busy in some dust, says Yahuwah. Because you only can save yourself. You can't worry about who to your left, who to your right. You got to make your move on your own, just like you see Paul did. Immediately, he got himself together and said, somebody needs to hear the word of Yahuwah. I got to go. He broke out running. That's the spirit we talking about. You got to find that spirit, and that's the spirit the seer got to lift. Who got that kind of spirit? And when the Torah gets according to the Bible, we're gonna be leased out on the world, just like Brother Yahweh right now over there in Florida, taking care of some Yahweh's business because he qualified to go there and spread the books out. You got to be qualified to spread the books out. You got to know how to precept your Bible. You got to know how to lose the bump the gum contest. And when they come up with some air, put some books on them. You got to know you got to have them fringes on because them fringes is the blessing from Yahweh. Them fringes is the blessing and the name Israel, you must have at the end of your name. Now you got Yahweh working with you at a time appointed. Verse 12 and 13, listen good.
Verse 12, and from thence, which is the chief city, and from thence to the Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a column, and we were in that city, abiding certain days, 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wanted to be made. And we sat down and speak unto the woman which resorted thither.
Ain't that something? So now Paul, look what day Paul went out there looking for on the Sabbath day. He way over there in Japhetic land, in Macedonia, called Europe, and he went out there looking for those that needed help on the Sabbath day. So Paul ain't broke the Sabbath day. That is the teaching of faith, and that's why he read in the first verse by Mr. Till, Satan have deceived the whole world. Anytime you keep in first day of the week, Sunday, or worship day, you have been deceived upon the Satan the devil. Satan got you and everybody in contact with you. Because that is a doctrine of Satan the devil, but the end going to get you thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire. And that preacher, male or female, that have you going to come worship with the Bible in their hand on the wrong day, the day of the sun, that was started by Constantine 321, the black man. Ain't got nothing to do with color. Constantine was a black man. He's on painting them white. Constantine was a black man. That's the one changed the Sabbath day. You got wicked blacks, because you can't look at color. You got to look at the teaching. You got blacks have done a lot of wicked things. Huh? Because they, the message that Satan got. He said, I give you all, but you got to bow down and worship me. He said, you got on the table. I got on the table. I got the cross and Sunday on the table. You want a piece of this? Yeah, I guess I do want a piece of that. Okay. You teach everybody that the Bible Sabbath day is done away with. And you convince them to keep Sunday first day of the week because, you know, I'm going to be bumped in the fire according to 25:41. And you're going to be bumped in the fire with me, but you can enjoy a few pleasant days. But in Matthew's 25:41, Satan got a trip to the lake of fire coming in as written. And those that continue to hold on to Satan, Lord God and Jesus and Sunday keeping, you will be also in the lake of fire burning with worms on you. Because that's Satan teaching, not the Bible teaching. Because he made it plain, Mother E, and 2 verse 3 of Genesis, no man around. It was no man nowhere. And this is what he says in Genesis 2, verse 3. What did he say there, Mother E?
Book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse, and Yahweh blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which Yahweh created and made.
What day is the blessed day according to the Bible there, Mother E?
The seventh day.
Now fast forward that to Luke 14:16. Now fast forward that to Luke 4, verse 16. Now we're going to fast forward that. Way on the right side of the book in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And what do you read out of that?
Okay. Let's get over there. Luke, verse 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came unto Lazarus, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the temple on the Sabbath day and stood up to read.
You see that? So you see that? On the seventh day, on the Sabbath day, sun went down on Friday, he was in the temple. Huh? So Paul kept the Sabbath day. Yahweh the Son kept the Sabbath day. Peter and them kept the Sabbath day. Chaps keep the Sabbath day. And you keep first day of the week, or you don't keep no day. That ain't nothing but a tick-tock, tick-tock, but a bye to come. That's the bye to come. Because you is contrary to everything in his book. Because Yahweh blessed the seventh day. He didn't bless no other day. He told all the rest days to work. So if you're not keeping the Sabbath day, if you're not having a Leviticus 23, verse 3, what it say, Mother E? What it say in 23, verse 3 of Leviticus? So if we just tell you, as he give us these verses to tell you in this big organization that says about Paul changed the Sabbath day, we can take it in just a minute and show you that that quote was misunderstood, but we're going to correct it on this national radio station. What's you reading there, Mother E?
The book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 3. Verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, the righteous gathering. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Yahweh in all your dwellings.
Oh, the Sabbath day is what kind of gathering is Mother E? What kind of gathering is that? What kind of gathering?
A hell raising day.
Oh, but not a hell raising day. A righteous gathering. So you join the Sabbath day, and you come for a righteous day, not a hell raising day. See, the Sabbath day is a righteous day, not a hell raising day. That you put your hell raising to the side and take care of them the 6 days. Mother D of Israel. What do you say in 26 verse 3 of the book of Isaiah behind that? Let's precept that to Isaiah 26 verse 3. Mother D of Israel. What does it say?
Okay. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he or she trusted in you.
So Yahweh says, if you put aside that hell-raising spirit on the Sabbath day and keep your mind on him, what did he say he'll do, Mother D up Israel? What did he say he'll do?
We'll keep you in perfect peace.
That's what he said he'll do. That's what he said he'll do. You keep your mind on him. You keep it a Sabbath day because I got to keep my mind on him. And what he say he'll do?
Keep you in perfect peace.
That's big talk. That's big talk. That's called nice big talk. You know, I found a verse on the way. I found a verse on the way to where we're going. Let me stop and make a little detour, a little note. See, every time I get into Yahweh's word, he always showing something on the way or on something.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a that will be used later on, maybe not in this lesson. That's why I'm going to make a note of it. Now, let's run back to Nehemiah. Let's look at Nehemiah there, Mother GF Israel. Now, Nehemiah is going to look back and reflect on some things that have happened that's already written. And Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 6. Now, Nehemiah is going to reflect back on some things. Let's see what Nehemiah said in the 9th chapter, verse 6. What did he say there, Mother GF Israel?
Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. Thou, even thou, art Yahweh alone. Thou hast made heaven the heaven of heaven with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the sea and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worship you.
The host of heaven worship him. See, so you know the one that didn't want to worship him, the chapter was kicked out. That's saying the devil. He said, get up out of here. You don't want to worship me. Get up out of here. But now you know you got a short time. And Matthew to write in 25:41, you know I'm going to burn you in that fire, and everybody caught up with your wiles going to be burnt in the fire with you. So we can read that. Where that at? Matthew 25:41. Now, skip down to verse 10, now verse 12 through 14. Now, so otherwise, we got Yahweh's resume. Now, Nehemiah is talking to the whole 12 tribes of Israel about this man that we serve, and this is what he said to them in 12 through 14. What he said in 12 through 14 now, Mother D of Israel?
Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 12. 14, verse 12. Moreover, thou leadest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. 13. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spake with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgment and truth to our instruction, good statutes and commandments. 14. And made it known unto them your righteous Sabbath, and commanded them precepts, statutes, and the covenant by the hand of Moses your servant.
That's a big verse. That big verse there, that's a big old verse. What he do in verse 14 again with a little more audio? What happened in verse? Now he's telling the nation of Israel. He's reminding them about your mighty one to worship him only because he's the one made everything. And now he dropped a bombshell on them in verse 14 to remind them something. What he say in verse 14?
Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 14. And made it known unto them your righteous Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and the covenant by the hand of Moses your servant.
That's big talk. Now, Nehemiah, we got to find out some more. Now, when you got Nehemiah, we got to hammer home verse 20. And not only that, he's going to tell them something else. He said, not only that, he said, if y'all got all that covered, he said, Yahweh going to do something else big time with y'all if you got the Sabbath day covered. Because the Sabbath day is not a hair-raising day. It's not a backbiting day. It's not you want to spit out your venom on the Sabbath day. You got 6 days to do that. The Sabbath day is righteous. Put everything to the side and worship Yahweh on the Sabbath day the way he tell you to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
Then what do you do in verse 20? Verse 20.
Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 20. Thou gavest also you good spirit to instruct them, and withholdest not your manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst.
Ain't that something? Gave them the what kind of spirit did he give you when you do right? What kind of spirit did he give you, Mother D of Israel?
Good spirit.
Ain't that something? So if you see around you on a Sabbath day and they don't have a what kind of spirit?
Good spirit.
Then what kind of spirit they got then?
Satan the devil.
You got Satan the devil spirit. If you ain't got a good spirit on a Sabbath day, that means you got the Satan the devil. You got
the
devil in you then. So your father on a Sabbath day going to give you, what kind of spirit he going to give you on a Sabbath day?
A good spirit.
A good spirit. So if you catch somebody as a hell-raising idol on the Sabbath day, then we know what kind of spirit you got. Matter of fact, you're supposed to be able to recognize spirit through scripture. Let's see if we recognize that spirit when you see on the individual. Because, see, one thing about it, the Bible tells the whole story. All we do is turn to it and see. Let's go to 1 Samuel. Let's see. See, you're supposed to recognize you got a hell-raising spirit on you. You ain't got the spirit of Yahweh. You got Satan on you. Because if you was of Yahweh, you have what kind of spirit again?
A good spirit.
A good spirit. We ain't got to ask you what kind of spirit you got on you, because we can see a good spirit on you. Let's go to 16 chapter. Let me show you something. It's written in 16, verse 14 and 15. 1 Samuel. Chapter 16, verse 14 and 15. You're supposed to be able to check anybody out with the book open. Let's see what it says in 16, chapter, verse 14 and 15. You ain't got to go ask them nothing. Just look at the Bible and look at the individual. You can tell what's kind of spirit on them.
Yes.
What's going to happen here? 1 Samuel 16, verse 14 and 15.
1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1 Samuel 14. Chapter 16. Yeah, let me get it out, Phil. 1 Samuel chapter 16. You say 16, chapter 16, 14 and 15 verses.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right.
Verse 14. Spirit of Yahweh departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from Yahweh troubled him. Verse 15. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from Yahweh trouble you.
Ain't that something? You mean you can sit there and look at him and say, you know, that's an evil spirit from Yahweh. Yahweh controlled the spirit. He sent an evil spirit on you. So when you come with your eyes all in the cock out of your eyes, always want to be a hell raiser, backbiter, that's the evil spirit from Satan the devil on you that Yahweh sent for you to see. Look at it. That's the evil spirit. Anytime you have the righteous spirit on you, because if you got the righteous spirit on you, all you're going to do is just grow in the ministry and not always be a hell raising a tail bearer. See? That's the evil spirit from Yahweh. Is that what we're reading here?
That's what we're reading.
Recognize they recognize the hell-raising spirit. You know what? We can recognize the hell-raising spirit, too. We can recognize the hell-raising spirit by the pages of the book. You got the spirit of Yahweh on you. You'll be get in where you fit in at and break out running and get in one of them six anointed camps with big ears and a little mouth and add on what you know, because you really be doing Romans 12, 1 and 2. On the real side, what you be doing is Romans 12, 1 and 2. What is that, Mother D of Israel, Romans 12, 1 and 2? What do you really be doing? Romans 12, 1 and 2.
Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of Yahweh, that you present your body a living sacrifice, righteous, acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh.
So when you keep the Sabbath, you folks get a pat on the back by keeping her Mother D of Israel?
No. That's your reasonable service.
What is it? your reasonable service. That's going to keep you out of the fire. You folks, hey, that's my reasonable service. Body of living sacrifice, because that's my reasonable service. I don't need no pat on the back. I won't know who is to my left, who to my right. Paul was telling Northern, that is your redeeming service by keeping the Sabbath day. You don't get no pat on the back on Sabbath day. You're trying to stay out the fire. But worms going to be biting on you. Huh? Now, let me pull a rabbit out of hat behind that one. Say something. Now, we can go, now we're going to 16th chapter of Luke. Now, remember we read in 66, verse 24, you're going to go forward and look upon the carcasses of the men and women that transgress against me. They worms going to die not, and the fire will not be quenched. Now, we're going to precept that and get a bird's eye view. So now, remember, the Bible is can tell you the past, the present, and the future. It can tell you all three if you sit up under the right ministry. Now, we go and see what we just read by the seer. And now we're going to look all the way and see if it's written exactly what's going to happen. We're going to see if we get up. Let's go to Luke 16. We're going to Luke 16 to see can we find out, is this written what Isaiah was talking about? The Bible is the past, the present, and the future. All you got to do is be sitting in the right ministry, and we'll show you everything in writing. We're going to Luke 16, and let's find out exactly what we can read. What do we read in verse 27? Now, verse 27. Let's see what it says in 16, 27 and 28. 16, 27 and 28. Luke, chapter 16, 27, 28. What did it say that, Mother D of Israel?
Luke chapter 16, verse 27 and 28, verse 27.
Yeah.
Then he said, I pray you, therefore, Father, that you would have sent him to my father, 28. For I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment.
Place of what?
Torment.
Place of what?
Torment.
So, torment. He said, listen, go back and tell my five brothers that they better do what the man said in the book, because I'm in a place of torment. And tell my, they don't want to come there in torment. Now go up and find out what you're talking about in verse 26.
Luke 16:26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from them.
He says, it's a big gulf is fixed. He says, big gulf is a place of torment. He said, the ones that made it cannot get to that and don't want to get to that, and the ones that's in it can't get out of it. See the man saying? And what happened next in verse 25? Listen good, in verse 25.
In Luke 16:25. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in your lifetime receive your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comfort, and thou art tormented.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? He said, now it was Abraham. Abraham said, Lazarus, he's in the kingdom. He's laying in the kingdom of me. And you, for you doing what in verse 19? Let me show you what you were doing in verse 19. Get what he was doing in verse 19. See, he was doing something in 19. Yeah. Let me show you what he was doing in 19 that got him thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire. What was he doing in verse 19?
Luke 16:19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fair every day.
Ooh, what kind of clothes you had on?
Purple.
Purple. He had the clothes on that Satan, the devil, created. Purple. Purple clothing. Is that what he got on?
Yeah.
Purple clothing. He had purple clothing. He said, you know in second book of Adam and Eve, Satan won invented the purple clothing. So you were told that purple clothing comes from Satan the devil. And this rich man, that's all he had. As a matter of fact, all these of ancient times, that's what they wore. And matter of fact, when they were busting Yahweh the Son, signed them out, they took off of his royal blue garment or white and put on him a purple robe. Just to mark it. And now you got walking around here and sisters walking around here with that purple on, and they strut. Man had his purple on. Okay? Yahweh, he's burning his tail up in that purple. Come on back to verse 24. Now, he's going to make it plain. Listen, verse 24. Now, Abraham will talk to him in verse 24.
Luke 16:24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.
Ain't that something? You mean we can read that there is a torment of flame of fire? Yes. We can read these things, see, right? Do you know not keeping the Sabbath day, not wearing no fringes, wearing that purple, gonna get you thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire? It's in right there. We can read your outcome. Because he has blessed this ministry, the 600 camp, to go right in the Bible and read what's going to happen to you if you don't do what's written in this book. See, you can read it. Verse 23. See, we can read verse 23. What it says in 23?
Mm-hmm. Luke 16:23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom.
Ain't that something? You mean we can read that Yahweh gonna bring, you ain't nothing under the ground but a lie from Satan the devil. He gonna bring that liquefy and put it right there in an area where you can see all the ones, and here go one tell you, I'm there. So he's showing you a shot, and we'll give you a case in point that Yahweh can do that because he got that power. Go to the 17th chapter of Matthew. Let me show you. Yahweh got that power. Now look what Yahweh did. He can show you a shot, although, because he got that power to do it, like he showed you a shot about these purple wine, rich folks in the kingdom burning with fire. Yahweh got this power. Look what he got in 17 verse 1 of Matthew. Watch this. 17 verse 1.
Matthew chapter 17 verse 1. And after 6 days, Yahweh the Son took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringing them up into an high mountain apart.
Verse 2.
And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light.
Oh, so he had on a white garment, huh? And what happened next in verse 3?
Verse 3. And behold, there appeared unto them a Moses and Elijah talking with him.
Do you see that? So Yahweh showed them a shot in the kingdom where he going to be talking with Moses and Elijah. So there he is right there. So Yahweh showed you in the pages of his book. Exactly. It ain't no more mysteries now. This ministry can show you every step and tell you it's up to you to change your wicked ways before the man burn you in the fire and everybody in contact with you. When you're keeping the Sabbath day, that is your reasonable service to get to one of them six anointed camps and get in with big little mouth and big ears, because that's your reasonable service. You don't want, you the man said, tell my brothers don't come, they don't want to come here. Because I tear my tail up, and I see Abraham and Lazarus laying back eating grapes looking at us, and we burning up, and that's how you're going to be forever. So tell my brothers, listen, I bet y'all better keep the Sabbath day, because I messed around, died, and didn't keep the Sabbath day. Now, look, I'm in torment. I'm in bad shape. And I forgot to take that purple off me. He unburdened me with my purple on. So you see, you read what the man going to do for you. We can read everything we're saying. But look what the Father said to Peter, and everybody got an ear to hear. What did he say in verse 5? 17:5.
Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him.
Ain't that something? The Bible said, this is my beloved. So listen, y'all got any questions, Peter? You hear you him. He showed what it's going to be. But look what happened. Go back to Luke 16. Now look at this. And this is the part that those seers have to go grab a little rag and wipe his eyes. Let's see what it says in verse 28 down to verse 31. Now, see, this one said, that's why he keep two handkerchiefs. Because he can read this right here. Although we come humble, but we can read Luke 16, verse number, pick of verse 28 to 31. Listen to this.
Luke chapter 16, 28 to 31, verse 28. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Verse 29. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the seers. Let them hear them. Verse 30. And he said, nay, father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. 31. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the seers, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? He said, one did rose from the dead, Yahweh the Son. He told you what the Father wants. They still don't never mind.
Right.
Moses, first five books, and the seals, the rest of the books, they still don't pay no mind. They ain't going to listen. He said, they ain't going to listen. They mind already fixed. But they ain't going to listen, but some going to listen. And the some that listen, that's who you work with. But then it's up there.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be the end of those that continue to transgress of sin against the covenant of Yahweh. You read it. But I ain't going to pay that no never mind. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. But then one day your time going to come short. And Yahweh going to call you and say, you remember when the seers and the six anointed camp told you about keeping the Sabbath day? It was a reading of service. You ain't gonna care who to your left and to your right. Not a big mental spirit gonna come. Matter of fact, we read that Wednesday night lesson. We off tomorrow. And showing the mental spirit gonna come with speed. And they gonna cut you on your neck. They gonna read that tomorrow, Wednesday. The mental spirit gonna say, that's enough talking. They belongs to me. We was created to take care of this business right here. Now they, it's time for the judgment, and we coming quickly. We're going to cut them on the throat with a razor, and we take them to the fire. That's enough talk. Their talk is over. We're going to read that Wednesday night lesson where the mental spirit going to say, aha, you didn't listen. Now you belongs to me. And they're going to kick you in your tail. They're going to kick your teeth out and cut you on your throat and throw you in the bottom of the lake of fire and watch you down in the hollow. And we're going to read that Wednesday night. So we tell you, see, right here, this is going to be an honor for you to keep the Sabbath day. And because you should not want to be in that fire with them worms on you, keeping Sunday and Lord God and Jesus and purple wine. You should be thinking, well, man might shut me down here in a given time. I better make adjustments. That's up to you. Our job is to come humble and show you what the Bible's saying. Now, Mother E, now let's go and see why they have so much problem with scriptures that will tell them one thing, but we're going to examine the scripture and see can it stand up. Now let's read the way you see it in 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now here go the Christian pastors, cheap scripture they'll read, Mother E. They'll go read 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Now, this is where they'll go, and they'll say what Paul changed the Sabbath day. They'll take you to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Let's see what we can get out of 16, verse 1, and we'll read all the way down to verse number 4. Let's see. We're going, dreading their strength. Let's go see their strength. 16, verse 1, and let's see what's going on. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Down to verse
4. book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, verse 1 to 4. Verse 1, concerning the collecting for the saints, 12 tribes of Israel, as I have given order
ten tribes. Oh, now concerning the collection of the tribes. Paul sent the ten tribes. Yes, ma'am.
Now concerning the collection for the 10 tribes of Israel, as I have given order to the congregation of Israel, of Galilee, even so do you. Verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as Yahweh has proposed him, that there be no gathering when I come.
Stop it there. And there go their strength. So you see, Gavin Paul changed the Sabbath day right there. Paul changed it to the first. See, yeah, the first Sunday? I said, yes, first day of the week is Sunday. There Paul is. Coming on the first day of the week. So that's why we keep the first day of the week, because Paul comes on the first day of the week. Now you see that? That's where that goes. Mother of Israel and Mother E and Z. That's where they'll go and justify keeping the first day of the week. Now Paul is saying, I'm coming on the first day of the week to get that money that you have stored away. And he's going to tell you, when I come on the first day, this concerning the collection. It ain't got nothing to do with keeping worship. It's about the collection of the money. So Paul said, when I get there, on the collection day that I'm coming, to get that money. Paul ain't changed no Saturday to Sunday. It's talking about the collection. In verse 3. Now watch, he say in verse 3. Verse 3.
And when I come, whosoever you shall approach by your letter, then will I send to bring your liberty unto your God Judah, Jerusalem, the southern kingdom.
Okay. Now hold that point. Let's go back to verse 2 again. I want to get a little bit more out of verse 2. Now, look what he says in verse 2 again. I need a little bit more in verse 2. Yeah, I want to hear that again. I want to beat it up a little bit more. Verse 2.
First Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him a store, as Yahweh has proposed him, that there be no gathering when I come.
He said, now, Yahweh has prospered y'all. He said, he has prospered y'all. So when I come on the first day of the week, don't be thumbing around getting the money together. Have that money already together. That's what he's saying. Because I got to get back to the kingdom. Be thumbing around with that money. How much you going to put in there? No, get all that money together. And when I come on the first day of the week, don't be gathering the money then. Have it already laying up for me when I get there. This is concerning the collection of the money that going back to the southern kingdom ain't got nothing to do with Paul changing Saturday to Sunday. You see what they do? From Satan. Yeah. And that's the reason you keep Sunday, because you read up on the first day of the week, here come Paul. But Paul is telling y'all, listen, now concerning the collection, verse 1, now concerning the collection, Paul is talking to the Galatians about get that money in order and don't be thumbing around when I get there. And that what we're reading, Marie? Is that what we're reading?
Yes,
Paul ain't no Sabbath day. Saying the devil changed the Sabbath day to your piece of preacher, Mr. or Preacher, that keeping a Sunday, you worshiping Satan, the devil, if you use this verse to say the reason why you keeping Sunday. See? Now, so Paul said, don't be around because he got something to do. What he got to do in verse 3 and 4 again? What Paul said he got to do?
Verse 3, when I come, whosoever ye shall approach by your letter, then will I send, bring your liberty unto the southern kingdom, thou God Judah.
He said, whoever you approve now, he said, who you want me to see that you approve to have that money when I get there? He said, when I show up there, who do you approve? I'm going to go right there and look at and say, give me that bag of money. Now, who do I ask for that money?
Right.
Who would you have approved for me to look for? Because when I come there, I want that big bag of money so I can take it back to the southern kingdom. Is that what we're reading?
Yeah.
Is that what we're reading? Right. Where's verse
4? Verse 4. And if it be me that I go, also they shall go with me.
And if it's all right, I might take the money, man, with me. But we all going to the southern kingdom, but I gotta make another stop in verse 5. What do you say?
Verse 5. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that something? Now how do you get worship on a Sunday out of that? You see what they do, Mother E and Mother D up there, right? You see what they do?
Yeah.
You see what the wicked Satan the devil will do, and that's why they justify keeping Sunday. For this verse right here.
Mm-hmm.
This verse ain't got nothing to do with changing the world today. It's the man trying to get this money because he had to go somewhere, Mother E. This is what he had to do. Let's go to Romans 15. Let me show you what he had to do. Romans 15. We're going to Romans 15.
Okay.
See, this book right here is the greatest piece of literature it is, and we know that the deceivers, and that's why Voice of True Israel is a load. So we can meet you anywhere in the Bible and see that you are a liar, taught by Satan the devil. Now, let's see what it says in the 15th chapter. And let's see what he says in verse 24. Mother E, 15.
Romans 24
to 26. Romans chapter 15. Yeah, let's talk about this right here, because he's still on the same page. Take it down to verse 27. He's on the same page. Romans chapter 15, verse number 24 to 27. Listen good.
The book of Romans chapter 15, verse 24 to 27. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way to the world by you. If first I be somewhat failed to feel your companion. But now I go unto Jerusalem, the southern kingdom, unto the saints. 12,000. Is that 12,000 is real?
No, that's good up there. That's Southern Kingdom. Southern Kingdom. Yeah, he come up there to the Southern Kingdom now. But what did he say in verse 26?
Verse 26. But it had been pleasing them of Macedonia and Achaia.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribute for the poor.
a contribution. That's what had Yah Judah. So he said they were pleased. He said I was over there in Macedonia in the KI. He said, you know, I talked to some good stuff. I'm way out there in Spain called Tarshish. He said it was pleased. They was wanting to donate. They wanted to donate to the Pole Southern Kingdom, and they was pleased to do that. He stopped by and got their bag of money. He said, look here, I've taught you some good words. He said, we pleased to make sure we contribute to the ministry. Land, school, banquet hall, radio station. You should be going to be pleased to contribute to the ministry for your own land, grow your own big temple where it's so big, and a banquet hall, in your own radio station. You should be pleased to contribute to this ministry that teach you unto thus says Yahuwah. You should be pleased to do so, like they were. They said, we pleased to hear this good stuff, Paul. Now, Paul going to say something about them in verse 27. What did he say about in 27?
Verse 27. And it had pleased them verily, and their vessels afore they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things.
He said, the northern kingdom, that you got no word, northern kingdom. You're in the water. I'm over here showing you how to get on your feet. You should be, and they said, we pleased to make sure you have brought us spiritual understanding to save our life from being thrown in the fire. We is pleased to go in our pockets and pay our tithes, free will offering and donations. We pleased to take 10% of our salary and make sure the ministry needs this for land, school, banquet hall, and radio station. We ain't got no problem with that. All the information that y'all bring us 6 nights a week, we know we indebtedness because you have spiritually opened up our eyes about what we supposed to be doing, although we ain't going to do it. But at least we do know. That's what they're saying here. We please over here in Europe, polluted for Japanic land, to fill your bags up with that money and for you to take it back to Southern Kingdom. And maybe something needs to be done. We please to step to the plate and take care of this business. You see the difference there? See, right? So you see the difference when you got a spirit of Yahuwah on you? Please. Paul came over there and showed him this is the way back. Got it? Good. Now let's run over, Mother E. Let's run to Acts 20, verse 7. Because here's their strength. See, they got strength. But here's the key. We got strength, too. We know how to precept the Bible. Now, look at the here go another one of their home run hits they make. Here go another one of their home run hits they make. Watch this home run hit they make. Acts 20, verse 7. Mother E, bring it.
Book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples come together to break bread, Paul taught unto them, ready to depart.
You
on
see that? Now they got you. That's the reason we keep Sunday. On the first day of the week, Paul and the disciples, they broke bread on the first day of the week. Hey, Moses of Israel, but listen now. Now they going to throw you. See, on the first day of the week, they came together to break bread. You see what they say? They came together, and broke bread on the first day of the week. See that, Sierra? That's why we keep Sunday. We broke bread on the first day of the week. Okay, good. Let you have that. But we're going to precept that to Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. See, what we'll do, we'll let you win your bump the gum contest on you, and you justify you keeping the first day of the week that was given you since 321 A.D. by Constantine, the black man. And now you sent us and ran with it in your head. So we let you have that. So there go Paul and disciples, all of them is keeping, they breaking bread on the first day of the week. But we're going to precept that to Acts 2, 46 and 47, and seeking to hold up. Get a hold up there, Mother E.
Book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 46 and verse 47. 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of mind. 47. Praising Yahweh and having favor with all the people, and the Yahweh added to the congregation daily such as should be saved.
What were they doing in 46 again? What were they doing in Acts 2:46 again now? What were they doing in Acts 2:46?
And they continued daily one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat.
Wait a minute. They continued daily breaking bread. They broke bread every day. They didn't just break bread on the birthday. They broke bread on the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Every day they broke some bread.
Mm-hmm.
They broke some bread every day. They didn't just break the bread on the first day of the week. They waited till the next day and came and broke some bread some more. I mean, you can sit down for a meal and bread, ain't you? All they said that they was breaking bread on the first day, and every day they broke some bread in the temple. But it ain't got nothing to do with no change in the second day, because they broke bread on the first day. They broke bread on the second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day. They always had. The all day is breaking bread. Is that what we read, Mother D. F. Israel? Is that what we read here? Are we reading?
That's what we read. That's what we read. Yeah.
Well, read it again now, Mother E. Well, read it again, Mother E. What they doing over there in 46? What they doing with this bread? Is they breaking bread just one day? What they doing, Mother E?
Book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their
They continue in the temple breaking bread when daily. That means they came back the next day and broke some bread. They came back the next day and broke some bread. They came back the next day and broke some bread. Is that what we're reading or not?
That's what we're reading.
So you see, this is their sprint. They're going to go ahead and say, this is where they changed the Sabbath day, which is Friday to Saturday, to the first day of the week, because Paul and the disciples were breaking bread on the first day. Okay. Mm-hmm. They broke bread on the second day, too. They broke bread on the third day, too. Oh, my goodness. So you see, there go they strength. So there go they strength, Mother E, Z, Mother D of Israel. But they strength can't hold up when you shine the book on them.
That's right.
We break bread every day. Break bread. And that's what it's doing. Mother D of Israel, let's run to 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. And 7 through 10. Let me show you something in 1 Kings, Moses, Israel, chapter 13, verse 1, 2, and skip down 7 through 10.
Kings, chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, and 12 and 13.
Yeah, and 7 down to verse 7 to 10.
7 to 10?
Yes, ma'am.
First Kings chapter 13, 1 and 2, 7 to 10. Chapter 13, verse 1. And behold, there came a man of Yahweh out of Yahdah Judah by the word of Yahweh unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Verse 2. And he cried against the altar in the word of Yahweh and said, O altar, altar, thus says Yahweh, behold, a child shall be born unto the family of David. Josiah by name, and upon you shall he offer the priest's office. Upon you shall he offer the priest of high place that burn incense upon you. The man's bones shall be burned upon thee. You. Verse 7. And
well,
the king said...
Let me break that down. Well, let me break that down real quick. So here come a man out of Yahdah Judah, southern kingdom, to tell northern kingdom that you're out of order of what you're doing over here. And he cried against the altar because the king was up there burning incense. King was doing things that was contrary to southern kingdom. So Yahweh sent a man out of southern kingdom to tell the king of northern kingdom of Israel, you out of order.
Mm-hmm.
See, he went and told the king, you out of order. Now skip down. Mm-hmm. You remember what he said? He offered you some good stuff, right, for you to break Yahweh's will, right? So now watch what happened in verse 7 through 10. What happened 7 through 10 now?
1 Kings 13, 7 to 10, verse 7. And the king said unto the man of Yahweh, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. Verse 8. And the man of Yahweh said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with you. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. Verse 9. For so was it charged me by the word of Yahweh, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that you came. Verse 10. So he went another way and return not by the way that he came to Bethel.
You hear that, Mo? You hear that, Mo? Dear Israel? Now, Yahweh told him, man of God, get down and tell Northern King you're out of order.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get there, you tell him you're out of order, King, for what you're doing, because you got your own Sabbath days, you got your own priesthood, You try to be where you're supposed to be doing what you're supposed to be doing. You out of order. Go tell that piece of king he out of order.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get there, nothing, you tell him what I said. Don't let him con you into nothing and come back to the southern kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But then the king puts his Satan on him and say, come on, go home with me. I give you a reward, my man. He said, no, I was told not to do no business. Get on away from you.
That's right.
And, but he did verse 10. What did he do in verse 10?
Verse 10. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel.
So he was a man of Yahweh, but he went another way. So what that make him in St. John 10:1? I believe back in verse 12. So what that make him? By not following Yahweh's instructions. See, when we come on the airwaves, we don't want to tell you what Yahweh is saying. Yahweh is telling you to put some fringes on. Yahweh is telling you to come out them pants and put them fringes on for Yahweh to recognize. Why tell you keep the Sabbath day? We only tell you what the man is saying. And if we don't tell you what the man is saying, tell you what happens when you don't obey what Yahweh tell you to do. Because when you don't obey what Yahweh tells you, you got to tell them what Yahweh is saying. Now, Yahweh told him to get there and do this, get there and do that and come on back. So he went another way. What did he do in 10:1 of St. John? What that make him back going another way?
St. John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
So this man of Yahweh became a what?
A thief and a robber.
Why so? Why so, according to verse 10? By coming up another way. Yahweh told you, old man, what's old woman, what's good. Our job is to tell you what the Bible's saying. Now, come on back to verse 12 through 24 in the closing statement. Now, let's find out what happens when you disobey, especially in leadership. Especially in leadership. When you disobey the Bible in leadership, the judgment starts with you quicker. 12 through 24. Come on, bring it in the closing statement.
In 13,
verse 12 down to verse 25. Yeah, come on back to 13. Now we get to it's road. Yes, ma'am.
1 Kings chapter 13, verse 12 to 24.
Down to 24. Hard reading. Come on.
Okay, you breaking up. But anyway. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 12. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of Yahweh went, which came from Yahdah Judah. Verse 13. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled, and he rode thereon, verse 14, and went after the man of Yahweh and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of Yahweh that came from Yahdah Judah? And he said, I am, verse 15. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread, verse 16. And he said, I may not return with you, nor go in with you, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. Verse 17. For it was said to me by the word of Yahweh, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. 18. He said unto him, I am a seer also as thou art, and mentioned spirit spake unto me by the word of Yahweh, saying, bring him back with you unto thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Verse 19. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drink water. Verse 20. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of Yahweh came unto the seer that brought him back. 21. And he cried unto him, the man of Yahweh that came from Yahdah Judah, saying, thus says Yahweh, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of Yahweh, thou hast not kept the command which Yahweh, your Yahweh, commanded you. 22. But camest back and hast eaten bread and drinking water in the place of thee which Yahweh did say to you, eat no bread and drink no water. Your carcass shall not come into the scepter of your father. Verse 23, and it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drinking that he saddled for his ass to wit with the seer whom he had brought back. Verse 24, and when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the cock.
Yeah, that mother if it's in. So I don't care what the faces of people do. You tell them, does say Yahweh, whether they hate your guts or not. When you're in leadership, you better tell them, does say Yahweh. Because Yahweh tell you, tell these folks how they're doing, and you want to keep friends with a wicked duel, and you act like you don't see it, guess what? A bear or a lion might meet you on the way. Cause his name is McKenzie Williams tonight, because he is right there. He was told what to do, and he chose not to do it. What's your closing statement?
Yeah. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 4 to 6. Verse 4. And in that day shall you say, praise Yahweh, call upon his name, declare his doing among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Verse 5. Sing unto Yahweh, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Verse 6. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, Yahweh Judah, for great is the righteous one of Israel in the midst of you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I
understand that, no, if they out of order, whether they are great tithe payer or whatever it is, great donation, whatever they do, always show them what the Bible's saying. Before a lion might meet you on the way in leadership, and that's why Levite is not in the priesthood today because of what they did partial. You got to pick the way the Bible tells you. They come to class or not, call it the way the Bible tells it for your salvation. Mother E, let's get our 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23 in a closing statement. Mother E, 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23 in a come
on. Okay. 1 Samuel 15, 22 and
23.
22
and
15, 22 and 23. Yeah. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and verse 23. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, have the Yahweh as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Yahweh. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. 23. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity, sin, and adultery, because thus has rejected the word of the Yahweh, he has also rejected thee from being king.
Cause it's saying that mother eat. So bottom line is, tell them what the word of Yahweh said, they rejected it as on them. But you have delivered yourself. What you got to close with that mother eat? Come on.
Thank you and praising Yahweh for this class. Thank you and praising Yahweh for the seal. And I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Yahweh the Son of Yahweh the Father, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot touch with the feeling of outer infirmity, but as in all points, tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of the covenant, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Mother E, Mother D up Israel, catch you all Wednesday night. Mother Z. Hey, yeah.
Before, ever, before.